title is Believe. The text, we're going to be going Genesis 17 and 18, chapters 21 and 22. But before we get to that, I want us to review what we've looked at the last several weeks. The first week of the sermon series, the title was Be Great. The kingdom of this world, according to that text and that message, is this. Greatness is money, popularity, and power. Contrast the kingdom of God. Greatness is obeying God's plan for your life. Week number two, the title was Be Foreign. The kingdom of this world tells us, be like everyone else. The kingdom of God tells us, be holy, that is, be different like God. Today, we're looking at the topic, believe. The kingdom of this world says, live by what you can see. In other words, what makes sense? What's the most reasonable? The most logical? But the kingdom of God says, live by faith. Now, there are two questions that I want to ask you this morning that I want you to ponder as we begin this message today on the topic, believe. Question number one. When God called Abraham, how did Abraham know that God would make a great nation through him? Could Abraham see it? Question number two. When God called Abraham, how did Abraham know that Jesus Christ would come through his own, Abraham's own, family lineage? Could he see it? Did he have evidence? Did he have proof? Well, let's look at point number one. It's titled, Mission Impossible. Then God said, no, Sarah your wife will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. For Abraham, life continues. Through the years of his journey since he launched out in faith, Abraham experienced God's molding and shaping of his life. Abraham now faces a brand new challenge, one that he's never faced before. God tells Abraham that he's going to be a daddy. And that his wife, Sarah, is going to have a baby. Now, typically when you get the news that your wife is going to have a baby, you are ecstatic. I mean, I've been there three times and I've been equally ecstatic each time that I've received the news. But, as you were here a few weeks ago, half a century old. And I just can't imagine being 100 years old and seeing my wife give birth to a baby. But that's exactly what God said to Abraham when Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old. Abraham, you're going to be a daddy, and Sarah, you're going to be a mama. So Abraham now faces, here it is, a kingdom clash. Here it is. You and I face it every day, don't we? Abraham faced it that day. You see, the kingdom of this world says, live by what you can see. Live by what makes the most sense. Reason it out, and if it's illogical, then throw it out. So with this perspective, Abraham would say, no way Sarah can have a baby. Impossible. Defies the laws of nature. I'm 99. And Sarah is 89. That's what the kingdom of this world says. But the kingdom of God says, live by faith. What you cannot see, but what God has promised and God will fulfill. So the kingdom of God says, live by faith. In other words, yes, Abraham, you can father a baby, a son, at the age of 99. And Sarah can mother a baby at the age of 89. I love George Mueller's quote. He hits it out of the park with this quote. Here it is. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. That is so true. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 10, verse 27, where Jesus looked at them all, and this is what he said: with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And then I like Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, where God himself said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are just like Abraham. We encounter kingdom clashes. The kingdom of this world says live by what you can see, what you can figure out, what you can rationalize. But the kingdom of God says live by faith, by what you cannot see. Mission impossible. Number two, mission improbable. Here it is, Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The impossible became the improbable, and then it happened. Sarah delivered a baby. Now, this morning, I'm sure that there are many of you who are very curious about how a baby is delivered. And I hope you're not offended, but I have a picture of a baby being delivered. This is how it happens. If you've ever wondered, this is what it looks like. There is a baby being delivered. Now, ladies, wouldn't that be nicer? God just puts the baby in your mailbox. I'm sorry, that's not how Isaac was delivered. But the Bible says that Isaac was born. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. It's biologically impossible, but the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So here was Abraham, and Isaac was being delivered. I'm sure that Abraham had just taken his daily supply of Geritol, and that he was about to take these two tablets of milk and magnesia. He's 100 years old, and he's sitting there thinking, I sure would like to sit down in my rocking chair, but I can't sit down while my wife is delivering, my 90-year-old wife is giving birth. So what happened, just as God promised. The kingdom of this world says live by what you can see. The kingdom of God says live by what you cannot see. Live by faith. But the most important emphasis of these two verses that we've just read, 1 and 2, is not the miraculous birth of a baby to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. But look at verses 1 and 2. You see, the most important emphasis is not the birth of a baby to two old people, but it's God's faithfulness to his word. That is what is the most amazing. The birth of Isaac came about as the Lord said. As a matter of fact, look at those two verses there. The Lord visited Sarah, what? As he had said. Look again. The Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Look again. At the set time of which God has spoken to him. You see, this account focuses us on the attention upon God's faithfulness to his word. You can count on God. You can trust God. You can live by faith. Now, from a human perspective, I'm ill-prepared this morning to explain to you how a 100-year-old man could and a 90-year-old woman could have a baby. But you can from a spiritual perspective. George Seton said this, I love this quote, faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. 80% of 350,000 churches in America are dying or declining. You want to know why one of the reasons is? They identify with the kingdom of this world rather than the kingdom of God. They live by sight rather than faith. They try to reason everything out. They try to rationalize everything and try to make everything make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the way that Abraham had lived, Isaac would never have been born. So we have this contrast. Kingdom clashes. We feel the pull of the kingdom of this world that says live by sight. What makes sense? What you can rationalize and what looks the best? Or we can identify with the kingdom of God which says live by faith. So mission impossible, mission improbable. Let's now look at mission immemorial. And it's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19, a powerful and poignant text in God's Word. Let's take a look at it right now. As we look at this text, I want to share with you that God would now ask Abraham, and what he would ask Abraham would require a response of pure faith. What God is going to ask Abraham to do makes no logical sense. You can't reason it out. You can't find a logical explanation for it. But God says, do it. So, it was the kind of faith that God was looking for and had worked probably 40 years to bring about in Abraham. Do you know what the Bible says? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It reminds me of the story of that appeared in an issue of the Massachusetts Bar Association Lawyers Journal. Now, if you're an attorney, I want you to know that I hold you in the highest esteem, and I admire you for your life's work. But I also hope that you can take a joke this morning, because I've got a good one on attorneys. It's found in the Massachusetts Bar Association Lawyers Journal. I've heard many a preacher jokes, let me tell you. In trying to win a case, a lawyer asked some unbelievably incredible questions. It was in court. This is in a journal. This was a lawyer interrogating a doctor on the stand. The lawyer, "Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse?" "Doctor, no." "Did you check for blood pressure?" "No." "Did you check for breathing?" "No." "Then is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy?" "No." "How can you be sure, doctor?" "Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar." "Ah, another question. But couldn't the patient have been alive nevertheless?" The doctor said, "Yes, it is quite possible that the patient could still have been alive and practicing law somewhere." A body without the brain is dead. Likewise, faith without works is dead. Dead faith does nothing. What about Abraham's faith? Is it dead or is it living? Well, God asked Abraham to do something which seems to be absolutely ridiculous. In the whole scheme of things, what God is about to ask Abraham to do makes absolutely no sense. But remember this, and I want you to hear me today. Hear me clear today. God will sometimes put you to the test to see if you will go with the kingdom of this world or with the kingdom of God. Letter A, there's the arrival of the trial. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." Here it is. Who are you going to go with, the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of God? The kingdom of this world says you live by what you see, what makes sense. Or you go with the kingdom of God, which means to live by faith in what you can't see. And he said, "Here I am." And Oh, by the way, I love that because it says, Abraham said to him, Abraham. God called Abraham by his first name. God knows your first name too. And he cares about you. Look at verse 2. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. Simple enough to understand. God saying, this son I promised you and I've given to you. Now take this son, the one that I promised to you and the one that I said that your descendants would be as the sand of the sea, of the beaches and so forth. Go up to the mountain and kill him and offer him as a sacrifice to God. Doesn't make sense, does it? God had promised Abraham a son. He had waited until Abraham was 100 years old until he became the father of Isaac. God had promised Abraham that his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, get the emphasis on great, and on, would be so many that if man could number the dust of the earth, then he could count how many descendants Abraham would have. How much dust is there in the earth? Well, let's look at our own homes. Amen. Look on the coffee table. Or look at the cabinet. Look in your office. Look on the plexiglass platform. Pulpit right here. There's a little bit right there too. It's everywhere. God says, if you could number the dust of the earth, then you could number the number of descendants that are going to come through Isaac. But now God tells Abraham, take your son, go to the mount, sacrifice him, and kill him. Time for a kingdom clash, isn't there? The kingdom of this world says live by what you can see and what makes sense. The kingdom of God says, live by faith, by what you can't see. Follow God's plan even when it doesn't make sense. Letter B. So there's the arrival of the test, and then there's the anguish of the test. So Abraham's got to choose now. Is he going to go with the kingdom of this world, or is he going to go with the kingdom of God? You see, ladies and gentlemen, this very same thing that he wrestled with is also what you are confronted with every day of your life. Are you going to go with the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? The Bible says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. All right, now we know what Abraham's doing. He chose the kingdom of God. Didn't make any sense, but still he is following God out of obedience. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know what that's called? Well, it might be called murder, but it's also called kingdom clashes. Living by what he can see or what makes sense. Abraham could not sacrifice his only son. He had waited for his promised son all of these years. Sacrificing him now did not make a bit of sense. But Abraham selected, he chose, he identified with the kingdom of God, faith. The final moment of faith is expressed for Abraham with the sacrifice himself. He placed the wood in order. He bound his son. He laid him on the altar and took the knife to slay his own son just as God had commanded. Letter C. The answer to the test. Here is the answer. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Notice the urgency. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Listen to this incredible truth. Abraham's friendship with God was greater than his intense love for his only son, Isaac. These could not be in competition in Abraham's heart. Not even his dearest and most prized possession, his son. Abraham chose the kingdom of God even when it didn't make any sense. Letter D. The appreciation for the test in verses 15 through 19. And I want to read these two verses here. This is what the word says. But myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. This is what God says. In blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is in the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Here is Abraham's reward from God as a result of his faithful obedience. Because Abraham identified with the kingdom of God, here is the result. He became the father of the entire Jewish race. Unbelievable! What a story! It's called kingdom classes. The kingdom of this world says, live by what you can see and by what makes sense. The kingdom of God says, live by faith, what you cannot see, what you cannot necessarily explain. Now the question is, how can you do it? How can you learn to choose by faith in living according to the kingdom of God? How in this world can you, as you are confronted, you see, you want a how-to sermon? I've got a how-to sermon, and I'll give it to you right now. How do you do it? How do you win the battle, the kingdom clash? How do you choose the kingdom of God over the kingdom of this world? Here's the how-to. It's on the screen. Richard Halvorsen. Here's how you do it. The secret of strong and healthy faith is constant cultivation of the presence of God in Christ in your life. When you center your attention and your affection on Him, faith comes along without any difficulty. Think of God, not faith. There's the how-to, folks. It's as simple as can be. Do you want to choose the kingdom of God over the kingdom of this world? It's simple. Make your relationship with God your highest priority. And when you make your relationship with God your highest priority, you'll be like Abraham, and you will experience God's reward. Let's pray.